Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. The Avengers Infinity War review spoilerific discussion. My name is Matt, and with me, as always, is...
Pat.
Cat not in a hat today, but was yesterday.
Well, I don't know if that counts. Like, that's a little bit, like, that's skirting the line.
I feel like that's a little too far away. Midnight... You got midnight and during the day to be wearing
a hat.
Yeah,
but I went night, so things get confusing. Like, I had breakfast with my girlfriend in the morning, went to bed, and I was like, is it tomorrow or is it yesterday?
Yeah, I was like, this sounds pretty normal up until, like, going to bed after eating the breakfast. I was like, what?
Alright, well, so, we here at Capes and Scowls West, I'm sure a lot of you listening have seen Avengers Infinity Wars right now.
I mean, considering that it actually took away, like, it beat Star Wars out.
Opening weekend, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you haven't seen it, go watch it right now before you listen to this. Cause
I would.
Yeah, as I said, spoilerific discussion.
Yeah, there's no way we can talk about this movie without the most major spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, the only major plot points are just spoilers.
Honestly say, I've been enjoying the memes on Facebook of spoilers without context.
Those have been pretty fantastic, actually. Like, just... Yeah. Piles of dirt or, like, dust, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, this was...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The bubble gun was pretty good.
No, the bubble gun, yeah, that's good. Just, like, the yoga drawings. It's like, yeah, there's been some good stuff.
Anyways.
It was pretty funny.
All right, so do we want to just kind of hit quick impressions?
Yeah, I think let's just...
roll right into it.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. I wasn't really expecting to enjoy it because I wasn't too enthused about the last two Avengers movies. But I loved it. There were some parts that I thought were great. I thought the ending was just spectacular, actually. And then, of course, like, I would have gone and seen that whole movie just for Peter Dinklage's cameo, which I did not know was coming out.
That was hysterical.
That was, like, the best... One of the best cameos I've ever seen, ever.
It's like, he's just going to play a dwarf.
Yeah.
A giant dwarf.
Apparently dwarfs in the Marvel Cinematic Universe are giants.
I feel like that's...
Why not?
Asgardian lore? That, like, the dwarves are giants? Because it feels like that was pretty connected only to that side of the universe.
Yeah. So. But, you know... Well, sure, why not?
Right.
Apparently they're all dead now anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, a lot of death in Infinity War.
Yeah, a lot of death. I'm really surprised it got away with PG-13.
Yeah, there's a lot of death.
You know,
I'm sure I would say one thing, though, like, the one that surprised me the most that they got away with their PG-13 rating was the first death in the movie. The first one, which was Gamora. When they tossed her off the side. Because you saw her on the ground in that...
Oh, hold on a second. That was more PG-13 than strangling Loki to death, where his veins start popping out of his face.
That's fair. That one's fair. I'll give you that one.
Or the part where you watch, like, Thanos' army split the population in half and then just gun down half of them.
And then turning Gamora's head. So there's a lot of stuff, like, we'll move into.
Even, at the end of the movie where did they ever tell you what those stupid things were that were attacking them?
They just referred to them as the dogs.
Them, like, killing themselves in those domes. I was like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were the Chitauri, like, a lower life form
version
of that. They
were more subservient.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think it was just assumed that they were basically the same people from the first...
Yeah, another race movie that Thanos had conquered before and turned into some sort of a warrior... cannon fodder, if you will. So my impressions, I loved it. I thought it was, for me, a top five Marvel movie because it changed the way that a story is told, and a lot of the criticisms that I've seen about the film I don't think would have been criticized if it was just a standalone movie. So, like, if there was not the universe behind it and it was a normal non-comic book film, people would be praising the storytelling aspects as opposed to cutting down things. And specifically, it's character development because of the way that the story was told. But I think it's a top five Marvel film, and I think it felt like a love letter to the fans. And I wanted a love letter to me because I deserve it. and
yeah, how much time and money I've spent in this era.
Right, exactly. Like I was happy with what I saw, and all the Doctor Strange badassery, which was he was my favorite character in the movie. Yeah, Shade, he was fucking awesome.
Although he totally dropped the ball, man, on giving Thanos that Infinity Stone.
Oh, no, I have my theory about that.
No, too. I've seen the
theory. I haven't seen the theory. Is it my turn yet?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
You go for it.
I have that unfortunate opinion of it. It was like a meh to me.
Okay.
And I think it's mostly because when I was watching that movie, like it kind of reminded me of Thor, like Thor Ragnarok a little bit, which was serious or joke, or no, I'm sorry, serious for a good minute, joke. Serious, but end on a joke so we can walk away from that serious part of it. I felt like I started picking up on it. And it kind of makes me want to go back and watch other Marvel movies to see if they play on the same script lines.
I think they do. I think that's the Marvel way, is to have pretty overt levity mm-hmm. in the stories, with the exception of a few films. Like, I don't think Black Panther was very heavy in comedy. Mm-hmm. There are funny moments, and they're very natural moments.
I think
moments
Doctor Strange is about the same way.
Well, usually they use, like...
I can't remember, though.
Yeah, I guess Doctor Strange has comedy, but it's very much, like, it's mm-hmm. within that taking the breath moment
yeah.
in
the story.
Well, because, yeah, usually you'll have, like... you know, comedic relief scenes mm-hmm. where, like, in between the big fights and dramatic tension, then mm-hmm. they'll have, like, a nice, like, you know, like, James Bond meeting Q type
yeah.
scene.
Yeah, or, so like, that's the thing is, like, I'm starting to
but
pick
then,
up
like,
on
a lot of time,
solid
but then, well, a lot of time in, like, the Marvel movies, what they'll do is, like, in the middle of the dramatic, like, fight scenes or whatever, they'll do, like, a superhero quip, and
yeah.
then it'll actually be, like, a good joke,
mm-hmm.
like, to us, like, the audience, mm-hmm. and then, so we'll all laugh and find it funny.
Right. Well, I also think if you put Spider-Man, Star-Lord, Rocket, and Iron Man in the same film... that in and of itself, that they're all comedic characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They all will deliver.
No, and I'm not saying that
it.
I don't.
I mean, they have a
comedy.
Lot of like they all have their own like brand of like quips
yeah.
too, and like comedy. Like even Drax is like one of the.
Oh
funniest,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
Drax is
of, like,
pretty much just comedy at this point.
Characters,
but
yeah.
Yeah, picking up on Invisible. That, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm starting to find a pattern, which I don't. And if it give, I'll give a miss. It took me 10 years, but. I don't know, like, I guess in the back of my mind, I was expecting more from it, and the other part of it is, too, is I felt like there was a lot of, and I need to understand this just as a moviegoer, especially since it's one of the big films, is being spoon-fed, like, things, like, Doctor Strange, if he didn't foreshadow shit, I will sell my, I don't even know, like, I will do the most ridiculous thing you could probably think of to be like, I was wrong, but... he was foreshadowing, and if he wasn't, in his one line, and the fact that I don't know how many people picked up on that, I'm hoping it's most people, because it was
which
so...
Which line? Which foreshadowing?
When he finally disappears and he says, this was the only way, I'm like, bitch literally said I've seen this 14 million
yeah.
however many times, and said there's only one way for this to come out. He's the one who knows how they'll do it.
Yeah. No,
so,
I mean, I know, like, that's no, like...
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody picked up on that.
I really hope so.
But personally, that's good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
yeah.
want to foreshadow that. It's a subversion of expectations because you hear that there's 14 million outcomes and only one do we win. So that's like, okay, so we're going to see the winning one and it's going to be all hunky-dory. And it's like, we win with stakes.
Yeah.
It is... we win by not trading lives, which not trading lives is the theme of this film, is
mm.
to not, you know, we don't just give up on somebody so that we can win. And even Doctor Strange, who overtly says, no, I'll trade lives. The Infinity Stone is more important than either of you,
mm-hmm.
at the end, doesn't trade lives.
Yeah.
Says that, you know what, the vision that I've seen, Iron Man has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Tony has to be present. And the Infinity Stones, Thanos has to have all of the stones for us to ultimately prevail.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he didn't trade lives. Well,
yeah.
in a way, he traded his own life, but
yeah.
I don't know if he saw that in the movie.
It was just one of those things of, like, for something that was telling me it's going to be a build-up, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be great. And the other part of it is, too, is I feel like... some characters, obviously some characters are going to get more screen time than others, but part of me felt like some characters were maybe left out of it. The other part was, too, is the trailers did a really good job of misleading you to the fact, because we all thought it was going to be Black Panther 1.5. It was not.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No, I mean, most of the screen time, I feel like Thanos probably got the most screen time out of anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, and that was,
well, I figured that was on purpose.
Yeah.
I saw something this morning that just, like, I hate doing this, and I never do this with movies, but I have to. It was like a Simpsons meme. And he's like, but Mr. Thanos, if you have the Infinity Gauntlet, and you can take half the world away, and you can do anything, why don't you just make the world bigger for more people? And it, like, goes down to him, and it's like, oh.
Well, you know, that's, and that is what I think the ultimate success of the movie is. Thanos is your protagonist. Mm-hmm. It is from the perspective of Thanos that we have this mm-hmm. story. He is one of the earliest characters introduced. He ultimately wins. So it is Thanos' film. All of the heroes are antagonists who are attempting to do the right thing. Thanos is still a sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
But throughout the film, you find yourself empathizing with the sociopath until you have things after the fact where you go, wait a minute, couldn't he have just fed everybody? Well, yeah, he probably could have, but that's not his way of thinking.
Oh, yeah.
His way of thinking is that to restore balance is to destroy half.
BT dubs, I felt robbed too, because you had the Black Widow and I can never remember her name.
Okoye
fighting that one chick. Yeah. I can honestly say I was a little pissed off that Scarlet Witch was the one that took her out. I'm like, no, those bitches would have taken her out on their own.
It's a deliberate point to say that Scarlet Witch is probably the most powerful Avenger in the group, with the exception of Thor.
Yeah.
Which...
Who basically, went over 9,000 in the movie.
Yeah, seriously. I was a bit surprised that after Ragnarok, Thor ended up being your central antagonist, I guess, in the mm-hmm. movie. And really, that's what... If you flip it and think of Thanos as being the protagonist, and he has the specific goal that he's trying to do, and Thor is your primary villain in the story, like, he's the primary... He goes and he finds the weapon to kill the hero.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird... awesome little flip on the storytelling idea.
Well, it's kind of the morality fight, if you will, between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers from Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah,
like the idea of self-determination versus self-determination being like Captain America's idea of self-determination, i.e. the Avengers mm-hmm. ideas versus Thanos or Tony Stark's idea of setting an order through like some broad
right.
happening and then everybody following that order.
Yeah.
And in Thanos's case, that's balance.
Right. And in Tony's case, it was being part of a government body or like a piece of the actual system itself.
Yeah, but I mean the Avengers in this movie and then Captain America and Civil War, they're all basically fighting for the idea of like individual determination.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of interesting to see like this sort of thematic idea like continued and then sort of put on its head a little bit, I guess, from the last, you know, Civil War was basically Avengers 2.5, like, let's be real here.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. It's just, I don't know, like, and it might just be because I watched it one time. I'll probably see it again, but for a 10-year build-up, I felt maybe a smidge robbed.
Yeah.
What were you,
what
did you want out of it?
I don't necessarily know, because I've been trying to think about that for the last week or so, and I'm like, so far I haven't really come up with anything. But a lot of it's kind of come down to the fact that, I just remember watching it, and the whole time I was watching it, I wasn't as excited as I thought I should be. I thought I was going to be, if that makes sense.
Is it just kind of one of those things, like, you just went in there with such high expectations that, like...
Because trusting... The way I rule this anymore is going in somewhere with high expectations, it's gonna fall down and it's gonna be a bust. So I do my best never to do that. But even, like, I just remember when the trailer came out and I was like, I don't know. It might just be because I don't necessarily, and part of it might even be I just don't care about Thanos. That might be part of it. And that might be why.
How do you not care about Thanos? At least after watching that movie. Yeah. Like, I never really cared about him either, but, like, they did a great job of, like, portraying him.
Oh, no, they totally did.
And, like, why he's such a threat. Like, you know, usually shit that's on, like, such a cosmic scale. Yeah.
Like, that was...
That set it off, like, right from the beginning. Yeah. Like, you don't mess with this guy.
Let him have his fun. What? What do you mean, let him have his fun?
I think the other part of it was, too, is, like, half of that movie, I legitimately hated his costumes. Like, where's my Thanos armor?
Yeah.
I will say that.
It was in two scenes.
Yeah, that was it.
At least three scenes.
I felt a little robbed on that one. I was like, where's my Thanos armor? That was the one thing I can honestly say I was looking forward to, seeing him in that badass Thanos armor, but I didn't even get that.
total departure. Did either of you, I didn't catch it, but did either of you catch the Arrested Development character in the background? I missed it, too. Apparently,
I didn't really watch that show, so.
Yeah, apparently, I had to go look it up later.
Tobias Funk, right?
Yeah, they had Tobias painted blue in the collector's den, which is like a joke from the show that, because the directors of the movie directed a lot of Arrested Development
episodes. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so this is a little like,
because I know, like, they were
homage to himself, I guess. And so, yeah, there's a running joke that he's David Cross's character is applying for the Blue Man Group, and so he walks around like in blue paint, like every now and then, like he's the, to like hide and stuff. But, and so he's apparently in the collector's den, just, like, standing there.
Yeah, so it was just kind of one of those things of, I don't really know what it is that made me have such a moot point on it. I honestly couldn't tell you. I think part of it, I really honestly couldn't tell you. I'll go see it again and then decide if anything's changed, but, I don't know.
Were you affected at all? Like, did the ending get you?
The only time the ending really hit me in the face was when watching Okoye try to... He's like, I'm going to help you get up, and he disappears, and the pain in her face. And then, of course, when Spider-Man disappeared.
Yeah.
That was the only time that really hit me. Otherwise, I was like, number one, they're like, well, some people can stay dead. I'm not going to sit here and speculate because I'm just going to run myself in circles for a long time.
Well, I was hoping speculation was going to be part of this conversation.
Oh, no, it will be. There's no way that there can't be. But the thing is they're like, oh, what does this mean for Black Panther? I'm like, are you out of your goddamn mind? out of money-wise, I don't think they were willingly... For Avengers 4, I have people are saying, and I didn't think about this, that saying that in Avengers 4, Shuri's going to be the Black Panther, which would be dope. That would be cool.
I think Shuri should just be the Black Panther in the next film.
I mean, she's picked up the mantle before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like What's-His-Name for it, though. He did great.
I did.
When he does the SNL skit, for some reason now, he's just, like, forever my favorite. One of my favorite characters is when he does that SNL skit. And I'm like, I can't. I love Shuri, but I don't know if I could be like, yeah, you Black Panther now. But what about that guy?
I don't know. There's a lot to go on there.
But I don't, there's no, some characters I can see them killing off because of the fact that they're like, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm done, blah, blah.
Yet all those people are alive at the end of the film.
Yeah, I know, that was the backwards shit to that.
Okay, this is where I get into speculation here. This is what I think is going to happen in the next movie.
We should hold off until closer to the end to really because there's like, we haven't, I mean... You've got to have some favorite moments in the movie.
Too. Okay. Oh, I'm not saying that I don't. It's just, I don't know, like, I'm looking at this movie and I'm, like, thinking about the whole time I was sitting in there and I was like, nah, I don't know. Maybe it might just be I'm over the whole collective big superhero thing. That might be what it is. Just, like, having, I don't know, it's so many characters and I'm usually a pretty character-driven person. Like, even... Like, we'll go with this. If they're like, oh, did you like Justice League or did you like Wonder Woman? I'm like, Wonder Woman, because it's more of a story-based film. Mm-hmm. It's about Wonder Woman. It's not about all of them, necessarily. And we've had how many Avengers film, and it's like, it's about all of them. And I'm like, I don't... I'm more of a focus on this kind of deal. Focus on this person. That's why I haven't read Justice League. because it's not focused on this one character. It's focused on these characters and this character, stuff like that. I think that's probably what the main thing was with me, is here's 15 characters, and I'm like, what? I like a very one-driven kind of character purpose, kind of superhero thing, I guess, is probably what it comes down to.
That's fair. I had a completely opposite reaction. I actually meta'd myself, which this is a really crazy moment for me. So I'm watching the movie, you know, the Thor fight happens. I got all the way through to the sequence where Doctor Strange is captured,
mm-hmm.
and Spider-Man and Tony are having their moment outside of the ship. And
oh, we're using our fake names.
No, the outside part. So, yeah, like, yeah. You know, before they get in, and I have this moment in my head, and I didn't say it out loud because obviously I'm in a movie theater, but in my head I went, this might be the best action film ever made, supplanting Aliens. Like, you know, I was at that point, I'm like, supplanting Aliens. 15 or less than 15 minutes later, Peter Parker goes and says, have you seen this really old movie, Aliens? I was like, holy shit. I meta'd myself. I was freaking out in the theater that was like, because in my opinion, the bar was Aliens to me is the greatest action film ever made.
Yeah.
And I think I would put Infinity War right underneath that. And that's not to say that they're, like, the best movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But if, like, you're talking straight action, you know, you put that, Max Fury Road. Like, there's a certain grouping of movies, and I feel like Infinity War needs to be in that discussion.
I can honestly say I was a little more disappointed at the fact that Captain America and Thanos didn't really go at it more. That, I will say, is a little sad about it.
No, I mean, nobody can go up against Thanos.
Yeah, I mean, like we saw him beat the shit out of the Hulk. Do you think Captain America is really gonna, like, do anything to him?
That's the thing, though, with Captain America. He reminds me, he's like, the best way I can put it, he's like Goku in that sense. He's like, oh, you're stronger than me. I better try and not get my ass whooped.
Yeah, he's a bulldog, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, but, like, at this point, it's a bulldog going up against a literal tank.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, you can be tenacious all you want, but, like, what do you want?
I think we should just roll into, like, our favorite moments or, like, standout moments, necessarily. I have a pretty extensive list, and that's I have been writing down as we're discussing. Speaking in that, like, time frame of the film, the bold choices that were made in that Wakanda final fight scene, you actually allowed our characters to destroy an Infinity Stone. We saw literally one of the most heart-wrenching things in the world in Scarlet Witch killing her love. Literally killing her love. Only to have Thanos walk up to her, pat her on the head, say, I feel for you, and turn back time and rip the stone out of his forehead.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane. The fact that you actually went as far as to destroy an Infinity Stone, like,
mm-hmm.
I was like, that is, in and of itself, a bold choice to do. Like, they went and destroyed the stone. So that was crazy. The other thing that I really loved was Gamora in the moment when they find the Soul Stone, and her utter, like, smug laughter just freaking mocking Thanos, saying that the universe spits on you, you know, for all that you've done.
I mean, man. I would just like to point out, like, honestly, in that moment, I'm like, oh, come on, sweetie. I know he's deranged and everything like that, but, oh, come on.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
That whole sequence.
Did you believe the love? Did you believe that he loved her as a daughter?
You run into that line of obsession and love. I think in our reality, when it comes to sociopaths, they can love in their own way, and I can't necessarily speak for the universe, but...
Well, he obviously at least thinks that he loves her, because, like, he's actually crying.
Well, what, like, did you buy it, though? Like, as a moviegoer, did you buy that love?
Well, it comes back to what's-his-name's whole character, where... He believes he's doing this for the good of everyone in this entire universe. He is sacrificing part of himself, in order to save everybody in this universe, because he saw it with his own planet. Mm-hmm. He thinks, we need to kill half of our people. Normally, that's not where a normal person goes, obviously. Right. But I think, yeah, personally, I think he did. He just, you know, just in the fact of, at least, and if he doesn't, well, good on you, because you got a good one over on me, but I'm pretty positive he does. He loves her in his own weird, perverse way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I also think it was interesting, that moment showed the dichotomy of how he treated his two children, like, because Gamora is his daughter, and Nebula is his tool. Like, mm-hmm. Nebula is a piece of machinery to him that he utilizes to whatever he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And in that instance, you know, he used her as for information. And, I have a lot. I'll move on. Patrick, do you have any, like, specific moments that were just stuck out for you?
Like I said, Peter Dinklage's cameo is still, for me, like, one of the best parts of the movie. You know, I still think, just like with everyone, just that very final scene in the whole movie when Thanos is sitting just like on that porch type deal over like the meadow and looking out, and it just ends, and I was like, holy shit, like, this is how it ends. So, so great though. I think that's an amazing scene. And then, yeah, like, the scene when he fights the Hulk in the very beginning of the movie, that just sets up, like...
I just laugh at Loki people. Was the one that said it.
Yeah.
We have a Hulk!
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, for people that are familiar at all with Marvel movies and the Hulk being the Hulk, that instantly, right away, like, sets the threat level.
Yeah, you did that, and then he kills what, up until this point, was the most threatening villain that we had, was Loki.
Yeah.
And so... You know, he beats the Hulk and kills Loki in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like here you go.
Yeah, he's stronger than the Hulk, and he outsmarts Loki, basically.
I have to make a comment, too, about the Black Order in that moment. Ebony Maw says something, and I think people, like, in discussions have forgotten this. Like, you are the first person to ever wield two Infinity Stones. When he breaks the Tesseract, and, you know, he bows to him and, like, the Black Order in that moment. So, like, when he sheds the armor, he is that is like his religious moment. He becomes the first in all of eternity to put two Infinity Stones together in one place and have them to himself.
Mm.
Like, that's huge. That's such a big moment that, like, sorry.
No, I mean, go ahead. That's what we're here for.
There's a lot for me.
I think they do a great job. And yeah, I think like you were talking about earlier, like going in and watching this movie instead of as the Avengers 4, like Thanos's like solo movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like I think that's a great way to like go about watching this. Like his characterization, his emotional arc, his like plot arc, his thematic arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Kat? Like, highlights?
Like I said, I really loved watching. To be honest, if I'm hoping in the next movie they put them together a little bit more, because I think between the two of them they could fuck some serious shit up and it would be great, because you've got, with Okoye and Black Widow, you have two very, very different women.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you could put those bitches together and have a comedy series.
I would, I want more of a just, like, the A-Force movie. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be so much better. Like, an all-female Avengers film.
Yeah, see, my thing is, too, is, like, I want to see, in this next movie, I want to see more pairings of people. And, like, like, Okoye and Black Widow, because
we'll get into that soon. But what about for this?
So watching those two just like go to town on this, that chick was weird looking. I understand she was an alien, but she scared me on a fundamental level.
I'm gonna look up that character's name because I just forgot. Proxima Midnight.
Yeah, she scared me. So there was that. I enjoyed. I'd have to say the other thing that I enjoyed a lot, too, was, I can't even think of his name now. The one in the other Iron Man.
War Machine.
I enjoyed watching Steve Rogers and everybody walk in, and what was it, one of the top, obviously, government officials in the United States, And he's like, you need to arrest this man immediately. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was a court-martial.
Yeah, he's like, y'all, yeah, what does he say? Like, y'all are court-martialed or something yeah, like that.
And he just turns it off, and I'm like...
I thought he was referencing himself.
Oh, no, I thought he was making a joke to Steve Rogers, being like, because he's, you know, a gen... What is he? Not a general.
Captain.
But, yeah, he's a captain, so he can do that. And he, so I thought he was like, oh, well, you're court-martialed.
Gotcha. I took that as him saying, like, after shutting that off and shaking hands, goes, well, I'm pretty sure I'm court-martialed now because he's shaking hands with a terrorist, essentially. Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
That was the one thing I appreciated more than anything else, too, because it was kind of one of those moments where it's like, we're in literal danger right now, and you want me to arrest the guy who can help us? Yeah, okay. Yeah. good on you.
They literally, in that moment, shut off the window of the bureaucracy, and we're just like, yeah, okay.
I'm one for following government orders and everything else, but I'm like, your world's literally about to halfway disappear, and you want... Yeah, you're dumb.
So you latched onto the smaller moments in the movie.
Yes, I definitely did.
Okay.
And it's probably for whatever adverse reasons it might be, but there, I don't know, like, bigger moments wise, like, I think a lot of them too, I don't know much about the Infinity Wars, but I think a lot of them too, I caught on to them before it was even coming. Like, the final trailer where he's got that really secure pager.
Yeah.
Like, this has to do with Captain Marvel. Number one,
of course.
Motherfucker has a goddamn pager.
Yeah.
And that screams Mandy. It also had a symbol on it, explicitly.
Well, that was before when he was doing whatever. When I realized it was a pager in his hand, I was like, oh, yeah, this is about Captain Marvel. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I
don't know. I caught on, I like the smaller moments, and, like, yeah, there were some really awesome, big, giant moments, but the ones that stuck more with me is just, like, the, Scarlet Witch and Okoye teaming up to whoop ass. My other favorite one was, when she's like, well, when you said you were going to open us up to the world, I thought you were going to give us a Starbucks or something.
Yeah. It's like, maybe like the Olympics.
Starbucks.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Okoye is just an amazing character in general.
That's the one thing I will say, is I feel like we were shown we were going to see a lot more Black Panther. I don't feel like we got a whole lot of Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, that's an advertising ploy.
Definitely. That's definitely what it was.
Although, I mean, the entire, like, the final climax of the film takes place in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still have a few more like happy hits before we move on to stuff. I have to make sure. Sweet Rabbit. For Thor,
yeah.
Thor and Rocket Raccoon.
Oh yeah,
oh, Sweet Rabbit. Like that is amazing.
And he just kept calling him a rabbit too. I like
thing. He keeps calling him Sweet Rabbit. It's like
the other one too, where he's like, "You might want to wash that before." Oh, I smuggled that out of my. It's like,
the eye.
You might want to wash. Yeah,
Rocket and Winter Soldier meeting for the first time. May have been like the single best one-liner for me.
Can I buy that from you? No.
I'm gonna get that arm. That was like total throwaway, but that stuck with me so much. My favorite visual moment in the film, and I have to talk about this, is when they finally let Doctor Strange go all out. And you see all of the he's in the yoga pose, and the arms form behind him, and it's just like,
that horrified me. I was just like, and
he's my favorite character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because he's like, he's the asshole Iron Man who recognizes he's an asshole, you know, like, and I love the mystic stuff. So like that was,
are you making your hair move? No,
not right now.
Yeah.
I like the way he helped Star-Lord too, like being able to toss the discs and Star-Lord was jumping on them. Like, it was just that for me, like that is why I go to see movies like this.
I have to say their meeting was pretty great too. Where's Thanos? What?
Yeah. And then the little touches, which I don't know if people caught, but the gems glowed specifically when Thanos was using specific abilities.
Yeah.
So
I saw that too.
The glowing red when the Reality Stone was being used. And oh my god, the Reality Stone, they actually did things from Infinity Gauntlet. Like, they had someone turn to ribbons, the gun blast turned to bubbles,
that was fucking funny.
Oh, is that actually from, like, the comics?
Yeah, thing? That's straight out of the comics, the Reality Stone to turn somebody into a living set of cubes. Yeah. When he does it to Drax. To me, there was just a lot of those nods. But...
Interesting.
I said it's in my top five. It's not my favorite Marvel movie of all time. No. I think we should talk about some of the things that we thought were weak. And for me, the Black Order was weak. I think that
Ebony... I didn't even know about them, really. I didn't even know that's what they were. There was no...
Yeah.
There was no explanation to what they were, who they were, why they're following Thanos. That one, I will say, was, like, probably something...
Well, and I don't think we need to know the why they're following Thanos, but they were just so underdeveloped for a character who was totally, like... They were the characters who needed character development.
Here's the thing, is I didn't care about them, is basically what it came down to.
Yeah. I liked Ebony Maw. I think Ebony Maw had a really awesome story, and he was creepy. Like, he was a nightmarish character, the one who kept saying, rejoice, you are now the children of Thanos.
He was that crazy zealot. That was creepy.
And what he was doing to Doctor Strange.
Because he actually had a character.
Right.
And, like, lines.
That was the other thing, too, when they took on the last two and they were leading that army. I was like, why are they leading this army? Who are you?
Yeah, that's the thing. Proxima Midnight, to me, was the worst part of the entire movie. And it was because they made her look too humanoid. Like, they should have given her a different skin tone, or really, like, adjusted the facial expressions.
Yeah.
To, like, if you would have given her, Voldemort's nose or something else to make her look more alien, she sat for me too far into the uncanny valley. So, like, every time she was on screen, I was like, oh, we have a CG character. And I didn't feel that way about Thanos. I thought Thanos was fully realized. I didn't hit the uncanny valley with him very much at all. Where every time she was on screen, I got taken out of the movie. I was like, you don't look real enough.
Well,
and
see,
it's
my
because
thing is,
you're
is
too
that,
close
like,
to looking human.
The only other part of that I had a problem with them, too, is like they seem like real major players, but I didn't understand why they were major players. I didn't even know who the fuck they were.
We know that... did she even have any lines? Honestly, I think
she had a few. She didn't really have many. All
but
I
then,
really
like,
know
the other two characters...
is Scarlet Witch threw her into her own machine. I was like, well...
Yeah. But then, like, the other two characters of the Dark Order...
Didn't say anything.
They didn't even have any lines at all.
No. One was a Hulk-type character.
Yeah, he was a Hulk, and the other
Call
was...
Call Obsidian, I think.
He's still alive, though, isn't he? Doctor Strange just tossed him somewhere.
No, Ebony Maw is dead. Ebony Maw is the one who got thrown out.
No!
Tossed into space.
Yeah.
No, the big guy when he ends up cutting his hand off.
Oh, he's back in the final fight.
Is he? Oh yeah, you're right. See, this is how much I didn't care about them.
Yeah, the Black Order was a super letdown. Like, I get what they were there for because you kind of needed somebody to be going after the stones while Thanos' story was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But
somebody to have an actual fight scene with instead of
just,
like, the Thanos. Like,
that's true. I didn't think
about
that.
Coming in and not even, like...
I guess in the back of my mind, like, because there
like,
wasn't...
Imagine if every fight scene in the Avenger in that movie was against
just
Thanos.
Against Thanos.
The other thing is, too, is there were, like,
moments
like
for the
heroes. His lieutenants, right? Basically.
Yeah.
That wasn't really explained. And I'm not saying you need to spoon-feed it to me, but I didn't really... I had to think about it.
I mean, I got
it just because I assumed that's what they
were. Well,
right,
they were talking, like, so I'm like, that's what you are, but...
Yeah. Well, once he has the space stone, too, it's like he doesn't need to be near them anymore because he can just teleport to where they are at any given time. So.
Yeah, or teleport them, or...
Right.
You know.
I think it would probably be harder for him to teleport. I think with the full gauntlet, he could, but...
Yeah, and then, of course, I can't believe I forgot this, but when he uses... the two stones to throw the moon.
Holy cow!
You throw another moon at me, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was a very well made scene. Yeah,
the moons of I like the fact too that they were on Titan at that point in time, so he was on his home planet.
Yeah, that's true.
So
and it's all just desolate and stuff, and he's just like, "Look at this."
Yep.
I will say though that like there was some bullshit with the whole. With Star-Lord, like, I knew that was gonna happen, too.
And that's true to his character. Like, people were giving him a lot of, like, the character a lot of shit and saying that that was, you know, you basically threw away everything. And, like, in the two previous Guardians films, he is completely run by his emotions. That is Star-Lord's weakness.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he literally goes full-on ballistic machine gun Star-Lord on his dad when he finds out about what happened to his mom. Like,
yeah.
Bah, 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 you know, like, mm. full on. So that's totally in character. And they almost stopped him, but I mean, in a way, I saw that as another moment that Thanos played Star-Lord. Like, you know, he...
Who the hell's Nova, by the way?
Nova? The Nova Corps. Nova is a...
They're basically like the Marvel Green Lanterns.
Yeah, in the comics, there's like two heroes that are actually Nova.
But okay.
There is a Nova Corps as well.
And, okay, yeah. And it's just like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah. They only get that got mentioned once. Like,
how did I don't think they... No, it's because it popped up in mentioning something about Nova, and that's like...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, like, you can name some obscure DC character. I'm like, ah, no, no, right. I know this, but with Marvel, they sit in my...
They have...
Of course, there's a lot that's...
They had the Power Stone at the end of Guardians 1. The Nova Corps were where they left the Power Stone with.
Oh,
that's
really?
Who, yeah, that's... So in the first scene, they say that they decimated the Nova Corps, got yeah. the Power Stone, and then he gets the Space Stone next. Yeah. That's something that's interesting to me, too, is that we actually saw the journey of getting almost all the stones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. except the Power Stone.
Except for the Power Stone, yeah, yeah. which he just had at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, he had that one already.
He had the Gauntlet and the Power Stone. Uh-huh. And the fact that they actually did the snap, I'm mind blown that actually happened on screen.
The
and
snap. That was, oh, that the stone mm-hmm. snaps. Oh, that he does
the finger snap. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, you're actually going to do this.
Yeah.
So let's go spoiler time. Do we want to try to figure out, or not spoiler, what but speculation mean? Time?
Sure.
Okay.
Like, I feel like we have to.
Yeah. Like, we keep like wanting one. To hit into it. Well, there's still no like, title for the second film.
I feel like the speculation should honestly come even a lot more as, after, what the fuck is it called? After Ant-Man. I think Ant-Man will set up a lot more shit, too.
I think Ant-Man's going to have nothing in it. Really? I think Ant-Man will have an end tag scene where they get back from the quantum realm, mm-hmm. and we're going to watch one of the two of them fade away, and I think it's going to be Wasp. Because okay. I think they will get back after the events of what happened in Infinity War.
Hmm. I think you're totally right. I think they're both going to go down to the quantum.
Well, yeah, because they even
Captain Marvel and then come out and everything's going
to
be.
I don't think they're going to have anything to do with Captain Marvel.
I have a feeling the next Avengers film will be them searching for Captain Marvel, or Captain Marvel's going to show up.
I think she's just going to come down from the end, like at the end of Captain Marvel movie. We're just going to get the teaser of her getting the distress signal.
Wild speculation.
Well, no, Avengers 4 comes. Before Captain
No, Marvel. It does not. Captain Marvel is out a month before Avengers 4.
You sure? Because yeah. I saw the opposite of that.
No, she gets introduced in Captain Marvel, and then she is going to be a key player in the final.
God, stupid Google. Anyways.
Wild speculation, I think she's in the Soul Stone.
I think she's in the Soul Stone?
I think that what the end of her film is going to be containing the Soul Stone and putting her essence into it. And putting it on that planet that the Soul Stone is found.
You fucking change that. Mm.
And the pager is literally to awaken her from within the stone soul stone so she can escape. And I think there's going to have to be a trade of lives. Because who's left right now is the original Avengers plus a few people.
Yeah.
But the original Avengers are all alive still.
Yeah.
Which also, there's been set photos of the original Avengers in their Avengers 1 attire.
That is a terrible picture of her. I'm sorry. That is an awful picture.
That is
sorry.
A terrible
anyways.
Picture of her. I think what we're going to do is something is going to go on with the time stone where we're going to have to relive past events.
See, that's the irritating part is because I literally just read something the other day about them saying that you were going to get Avengers 4 first, and so you get a little bit of Captain Marvel like you did with Spider-Man, and I don't.
No, she's going to be a central point of beating Thanos. Or resetting the universe. I don't know how much of beating Thanos there is.
Personally, yeah. I don't think that they're going to beat Thanos in the end. I think he is going to be unsatisfied. That's how this next movie is going to start off, with him being unsatisfied that he's done it. He's met his ultimate goal and now he has nothing more to do. And I think one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to just go berserk and like the original Avengers plus Captain Marvel are going to have to take him down like classic team style, or she might just like talk him talk him down. Be like, why are you doing this? Like, just give up the Infinity Gauntlet. Your life is meaningless. And he, and being the nihilist that he is, he might just be like, you know, you're right. Like, life is meaningless and this can't even give it meaning. Like,
I have no real judge of character when it comes to Captain Marvel, so it's hard for me to speculate on that.
I hope, personally, that we get, like, an end of Kill Bill Volume 2 with, like, Thanos and Tony Stark being, like, the bride and Bill.
And just sitting
there. Yeah, just basically sitting there, like, on his porch there with him. And
I think there's going to be a trading of lives. I think it'll... To bring certain people back, they're going to have to... Others are going to have to die. And I think we're going to lose both Bucky and Cap. And that the Captain America mantle is going to be taken by Sam Wilson. And that he'll come back. I'm wondering about... The Shuri and T'Challa thing is a big question at this point in time. Because it's starting to look like Chadwick Boseman is not happy with, like... being Black Panther and not actually being Chadwick Boseman anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, he said that he's getting T'Challa on the streets more often than people, like, actually say his name. And, like, people will bow to him and then ask him to do the Wakanda salute and stuff. Like, yeah. So, there may be an early exit for this character.
Mm.
We know we're getting a Spider-Man Homecoming too. That's whatever film that it will be, so that kind of puts that.
Well, but they are doing a Black Panther too.
They are doing a Black Panther too, which could be set in the United States, and Shuri has to take the mantle.
True. Black Panther and the crew.
Yeah. Or there's two Black Panthers, and we
I'd be even more okay with that.
T'Challa stays in Wakanda to rule, but Shuri becomes your Avenger. She's the one who's in the U.S., and she has her own version of the suit. You know, that's... And she becomes the new Iron Man of the new Avengers. The new Avengers, which I think will be the title of the fifth film, will be the new Avengers. For the fourth film, I think it might be, like, Avengers Reassembled. Or...
I'm just laughing because they're really spinning off the Ant-Man and the Wasp right now. It's, what were they doing during Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
And I, like, go to the previews and I just like looking at each other.
I think the only things that... Unless Marvel's in the Quantum Zone and that's an accident, is that they find her. Or in that movie we get the page.
Well, the whole point of that movie is they're looking for... what's her name, right?
They're looking for Wasp. Well, they're on the run and then that they're... They realize that the original Wasp is alive, so they're going to try to deep dive into the quantum realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how like that is going to work with the dichotomy of dealing with the ghost character and then having to jump into the quantum realm themselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can go. So it's only Ant-Man and the Wasp and then Captain Marvel and then Avengers
4. Yep.
Okay.
Whatever it's called, which they're still not revealing the name.
Yeah. Avengers 4. Avenging.
Avenging.
I honestly want that movie title now. I'm like, how brazen can you be?
I know, what was Thor's... The
Revengers.
Yeah, we're gonna be the Avengers 4.
Avengers 4. Revengers.
Revengers.
So. I think certain characters have to, like, there has to be actual death for it to matter.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, too, if Vision ends up being, like, a primary villain in the next film.
You think without his stone he's going to be, like, evil Vision?
Yeah, like that he gets more of Ultron in him than anything else. Like, the balance for him is thrown off. And maybe that's the problem. Like, maybe they try to rebuild Vision, and Vision in this broken form goes directly for Thanos. And that has to be your, like... your through line. Because what do they do? Like, right now, they're completely despaired. Like, they're in different places.
Yeah.
Gamora, Tony. Is it just Gamora and Tony that are on Titan? Like, there's nobody else there, right?
Gamora's dead.
Yeah,
I'm not Gamora, excuse me. Nebula and...
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gamora's not dead. Gamora's in the Soul Stone. She was sacrificed for the Soul Stone. She will come out and she'll have to trade with Nebula for her role. And Gamora will be fully... If Thanos dies, Gamora's the one killing him. I have 100% certainty of that. If Thanos is going to die, Gamora is going to be the one to actually kill him.
No, yeah, it has to be. I mean, like, if they're going to conclude like, the thematic arc that they've been,
yeah,
like, going in this movie, it has to either be Nebula or Gamora. Yeah.
And they have to undo
the, if they kill him.
Yeah. They also, I think, will undo the theme of this film, which is the don't trade lives. I think they're going to have to trade themselves. Like, they're going to physically trade lives for lives.
And I, yeah.
I think that, because that's, you know, that was your moral theme and moral compass for this film. So, you have to, you break that. You have to take away your morals to do the what has to be done. But I honestly, like, how do you get to Thanos at this point? Like, where does that begin? Because you have...
I will say this,
yeah,
because,
like, where is he? Like,
I think he's on Titan.
You think he just used the Reality Stone to, like, change it back?
To give it his paradise, which it would be to be home.
Yeah, yeah. So. I mean, that's true. He could just
I will say that. This, like, watching, at least, I was, like, I can honestly say if they had, like, eliminated Black Widow, you'd just see me setting fires in the street.
I think she's supposed to, like, they're in development on a movie, so unless it takes place in the past, which they could do, she might die as well. She might, like...
Just want to see me watch her set fires in the street.
I also think we're going to see Grey Hulk because of the relationship between those two. I think, like...
I don't know anything about that either. I know there's, like, 14 colored hulks.
I think they're gonna make him gray, but basically they're gonna do the full Hulk, where he's a dark version of Banner with all of Hulk's strength.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the intelligence, the anger, and then all of the power. So he's, like, Super Hulk, and that could be your primary villain for the next film.
Mm-hmm.
As you do World War Hulk, where... you have a Hulk that has all of Banner's intelligence and none of his trepidations. So, that can...
Yeah, because I didn't even understand the whole point of Hulk not coming out either.
He was scared.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. I gathered.
That and there was the weird... my wife actually noticed this one. A throwaway line in Ragnarok is that he says if he transforms again, he doesn't know if he'll be able to come back.
Yeah.
Well, what if that was a reverse transformation? What if Banner's the one saying it, that he won't be able to come back to being Banner, but it's the other way around?
Oh, that he can't be Hulk anymore? Yeah,
he transformed too many times into Hulk, and he can't go back.
Huh. Well, I mean, he still has Hulk inside of him.
Yeah, he's still there, but he's not coming out, so... There's yeah. a, like, there's so, there's more wide open than I had anticipated us being with this.
Like I said, and, like, Hulk hits a blind spot, so most of that, him not coming out, I didn't necessarily understand, and I don't necessarily know what that entails, because I know just so little about that character. Whereas, it's one of those movies that's going to end up sitting in my blind spot because I don't necessarily know too much about this storyline to begin with, or necessarily all these characters. Like, Scarlet Witch is a new character to me. People are also chanting, they're like, you need to bring back Quicksilver, and part of me is like, I'd be down.
No, I'm out on that one. Alright, well...
yeah. Well, before we get into just, like, hours and hours of speculation yeah. and what How should happen.
What should happen?
maybe we should go ahead and wrap it up here.
Yeah, yeah. Make another Doctor Strange movie and I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say this, we'll see. I kind of saw a little bit of the Doctor Strange the other day. I will say I feel, and granted, yes, I left with a man, but Doctor Strange is honestly a really good film. So, yeah, make another one.
Yeah, make another Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, let's say bye, everyone.
Bye.